In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. Hello again, as always, to Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello. What a week.
The week is right. It's week 7 of The Matchler, although it seems, if you want to follow the bouncing ball, it seemed like Matt was the last thing anybody wanted to talk about last week.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's a lot going on with Chris Harrison, and I think we'll, if that's okay with you, I think we'll put that at the end.
Sounds good.
If you're interested in all this madness with Chris and the show and Rachel and everyone else, we'll cover that after the episode. Figure let's do the quote unquote lighter stuff first.
Yeah.
What people generally are here for, which is talking about The Bachelor and season 25. Doesn't get any sillier than I think what we ended last week's episode with and started this week's episode with. Heather just sort of crashing the party.
I thought she might have had a little bit more of a chance than what she actually had. I thought maybe she'd stick around for a little bit longer, but I totally see the way that Matt was able to, I don't want to say get rid of her because that seems harsh, you know, have her go home because he didn't want to just keep her around just to keep her around and get to know her. Like he knew that he was further along and had real deep relationships with other women in the house. And he didn't want to waste their time. He didn't want to waste Heather's time. And he certainly didn't want to waste his time.
Perfectly put. And I would have been interested to see if, and the woman would have freaked out either way, but I'm very interested if this would have happened, say 2 weeks ago at the beginning of a week, as opposed to during a rose ceremony, if she could have spent a little more time where, you know, they weren't about to get to hometowns. I still thought they were the women as a almost to a, like a person that was left mm-hmm. were so mean to Heather.
We almost made it a stretch with like no bullying. And then like they just had to go after her. I felt it was so uncomfortable and I felt so bad for her. It was tough to watch.
What do you think about Heather goes there? She basically just attacked nonstop from the minute she gets to introduce herself to the women.
Yeah.
Even before she can introduce herself, really. So mm-hmm. what do you think about her not sort of torching the women on the way out? Because she very easily could have said, hey, by the way, you know, hey, I obviously I hope you find what you're looking for. But just so you know, 5 of these women.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just speaks to her as a person. I mean, obviously, I don't know her, but she always carried herself so well on Colton season. And if you follow her and Hannah at all on social media, like they're a lot of fun. Demi posting out that, you know, she's like the nicest and happiest person you'd ever meet. So I feel like she's a good person and I feel like we'd be really good friends. But I feel like that's just the kind of person who she's not going to walk out and be like, oh, by the way, these three people completely attacked me, you know, when I came back from talking to you, or and right when I walked in, basically. I think she was just like ready to be done with the situation. She just wanted to get back home.
Back in her minivan.
I mean, really, it's been like weeks because she had to quarantine or whatever that timeline was. But yeah, I think she just really doesn't seem like she likes confrontation. So she just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was so blown away by how cruel, and not because we haven't seen this on the show, especially this year, but especially someone like Jesenia, who had just gone through this whole thing with MJ, for her to then basically become MJ.
Yeah.
You had Piper, who had a rose, came out screaming about, I need my time. And you already have a rose. You were in the middle of one-on-one time with him.
Not only that, but she said she waited all week for that time with him, which isn't true because she had a whole one-on-one date.
So confusing. And I understand you have to be a certain type of person to be on this show to begin with. You know, you have to be a little extra getting to the point where a little, and we're getting to the point where, you know, next week is hometowns. So fine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think you're showing a lot more about yourself than the process, because you put it perfectly last week. Like, why was Matt laughing? Well, he was laughing, and I didn't even think of it till you mentioned it, because like, how many more things can you guys throw at me? Like, can we just have this season?
For someone not familiar with this process, like at all, killing this poor guy.
I get that part, and say what you will about the process of throwing wrenches in for the sake of, well, we're on this resort and we can't go anywhere, so we need to create drama. For these women to just, whatever you want to call it, vile things at this woman that they just met, she could have come onto the show 3 weeks ago. They all knew this was happening.
I think it would have been maybe worse if she came earlier, because we had that many more mean girls. Not saying this wasn't bad, because this was tough to watch and I felt so bad. And she didn't really deserve any of it. Like, really. I mean, yeah, she came late, but it really wasn't on her for anything. But yeah, I think it could have been worse if she did come earlier, because we did have numerous more more mean girls.
Yeah, these were the second tier mean girls. So that's a great point. I mean, like I said, I kind of wish she would have just dropped a bomb on the way out, because for him to then go back to them and say, oh, I'm so impressed by how you all handled this. I'm sorry, what?
You clearly did not hear anything.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's hard to hold that against him, because he didn't see how they actually handled it. He only saw how, when he came back, they were all smiles. Like, well, of course, because she just left.
You just sent her home.
Yeah, so I'll be interested if they cover it all in after the final rose or women tell all or whatever, if he has any reaction to that, or if they only focus on sort of the first wave of mean girlness and not this little blip that we saw this week.
Yeah, I hope they don't push Heather to do women tell all. I'm hoping that was just a little bit of a stunt.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I mean, because then he...
I don't think she'd be able to handle it, honestly.
No, seriously. And I guess, I don't know whether it was just him apologizing or whatever, but, you know, then the women are you know, everything's good now. And like, oh, he's so hot the way he handled it. And like, oh, so you guys change your tune very quickly.
Like, what is happening? It was quite the roller coaster, let me tell you.
And, you know, in the rose ceremony, or the first rose ceremony, we actually got two this episode, which is a rarity. Chelsea.
I did not think we were going to get that second one.
Oh, no. I saw like 5 minutes were left. I'm like, oh, we're not getting
it. Yeah, I was like, it's definitely going to be another to be continued. But we got it, so.
We said goodbye to Chelsea and Serena C. Serena C was one of the mean girls in that second tier. Chelsea was more frustrated, I think, than anything. She...
Yeah.
I didn't, at least that from what I noticed, I don't remember seeing her be as mean as some of the women.
Yeah, I don't, through any time really on the show, I don't think she was ever considered quote unquote a mean girl. I would say like she and Abigail in the house, like I would feel like they were never mean, but they were definitely frustrated and, you know, upset at times of, but more because of like time with Matt. Like it was right. never really about the other girls. So we'll miss Chelsea. Chelsea was a good one.
Yeah. And I think it's a perfect example of what we talk about every so often is, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. Like this is what you signed up for. And, but like, don't hate him for the situation or these women that come in after the fact, because it's part of the game. Like hate the game. Like what is it? Why you guys shouldn't do this. So I get the, even though we make fun of it because you know what you signed up for, like it's more, I think it's more acceptable just to be pissed off with the show than the other women or the Bachelor Bachelorette.
Exactly.
But we did then try to have a normal episode, and they couldn't even do that right. And I think it was more just because of just people not being matched well for dates. We were getting 2 one-on-one dates and a group date, and the first one-on-one date was Serena P. And as we found out about
Serena, now can just be Serena.
That's true. I guess I can Serena. I still have her as Serena P. in my notes. I guess I can just put her as Serena. She goes on a tantric yoga date, which we've seen like 12 variations of this over the years. And so I'm just curious your thoughts on Serena, no last initial, and Matt. Should she have said something sooner? Is it okay that she went through it and then said something, or should she not said anything at all?
I mean, she could have said something sooner because it was very uncomfortable to watch. But I'm really, I think that was the one thing that saved her, really. Because after it was over, to recap, she hated it. She did not like it. She's not a very affectionate PDA person. Matt tries to kiss her during the yoga. She pulls away. It was this whole thing, but Matt really liked her honesty. And I think, and then they started talking about that. And I think that's what saved her, because at first he was like, oh my gosh, she hated it. Like, she didn't kiss me back. Like, I don't think we're on the same wavelength. It was this whole thing. But she kept saying it too. She like their toast. They were like, all right, toast to never doing tantric yoga again. Like, and she kept bringing it up, which I think he was feeling bad. Like he was like, he felt bad that she did not have fun on this date. But I think the honesty of coming out and saying, you know, I that's not who I am. I did not like this date at all. I think that was like what saved her in the long run, because he loved that she was being honest about it.
Yeah. And I thought it was important that she said, it's not necessarily important what we do. It's important just that we're spending time together. And so she went, you know, like she tried it, even though she was pretty sure she wouldn't like it. She tried it. She's then definitely sure she doesn't like it. And it's something I never want to do again. But it was the fact that she just said, well, you know, I just want to spend time with you. So if it's trying new things, if it's, you know, getting out of my comfort zone, doing things that I don't usually do, as long as it's with you. And because I was 100% sure that there's no way that she was getting a rose. I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought she was going home, and I liked her, and I felt bad that she was going to go home on something that she didn't even like doing. But I think that, like, Matt was looking basically for that spark with her, and he wasn't getting it, obviously, during it. But that's just not who she was. So I'm glad that she said something, because if not, I think he would have just taken it as, all right, we're not in the same place. She doesn't want to kiss me. Like, I think maybe it's time for her to go home.
Yeah, and it certainly took a huge leap in like an hour from, well, we're not on the same wavelength, to I could see myself falling in love with her. Let's go meet her family. I'm like, wow, okay. And then I know everything's supercharged here, but that seemed like
was an aggressive turn of events.
And so obviously gets the rose, no surprise there. no surprise there being that he can see himself falling in love with her. It was a surprise in that I thought she was, there was zero chance she was getting it. And then we get to the group date, which means we saw, okay, is it going to be Abigail or Jesenia? Because they're the only two that have yet to have a one-on-one date. And unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, cause she just, I'm sorry, the beginning of this episode, just I'm done with her. Jesenia gets the one-on-one in place of Abigail. And at first I thought, you know, cause Abigail's all in her head. And as we found out, appropriately so. But I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe it's just the reverse is he feels comfortable with where you guys are and you're all good.
Right.
And he needs to see if things with Jesenia are going to go forward. Well, you know, spoiler alert, as we found out, you know, he was not feeling it with Abigail. And I think we'll tackle that in a minute. Cause I think she deserves a full breakdown of what happened.
Of course.
But I want to talk about the group date a little bit before we get to Jesenia's one-on-one, which
deserves a full,
deserves a full 30 seconds, I think, for both of these. So the group date, once again, there's no actual date. And unless it was just so awful that they didn't chose not to show it.
Well, because they showed them all getting ready during the day. So like getting ready to go on a date. So I don't know what it was or if they had one, but, or if it was just really boring and nothing happened. But they just showed the night, which was basically a cocktail party.
Yeah. It was so bizarre. And this was not the first time they've done that this season. So I don't know if just they're really swinging and missing with some of these group dates or he just figures it's more important.
Or is it time thing? Yeah. I'm not sure.
So bizarre. But I think the only thing that we took out of two things, I guess, that we took out of this group date is Bree.
Maybe there was just no drama. Like maybe it was actually just a fun date with six girls. And they're like, we can't show that.
Everyone like, getting along and having fun.
We need someone yelling at people.
And, you know, we found out that Bree, and I don't know how this happened while she was there, because I didn't know you could, like, use the phone or anything else, but she resigned her job while she was at the resort.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens.
I would think, cause I thought the same thing. I was like, how do you have contact with anything? I think either she knew she had a date like that she had. So if she was already gone, then obviously she'd already be back at work. But if she was still there, then she wasn't able to keep her job or, I mean, I think that must've been it. Like, I don't think she wasn't expecting to be there that long. So her job said, all right, if you're not, you know, if you're not back by February 16th, which obviously it's not, but, then, you know, we're going to have to find someone else for your position.
So we'll accept that as your resignation if you do not let us know you're back by this date and then this date passed. Okay, I can see that.
So I think maybe she just had to, you know, if she was home by then obviously she'd go back to work. But if not, then she chose to explore it with Matt more than go back to her job, which was her dream, not just a job.
Yeah, exactly. And but so much of a dream that she's going to stay on a reality show instead of the dream job. But I mean, listen, do whatever you want. It's just, it seemed.
But can you imagine if Matt sent her home? She's like, actually, I'm not feeling it. So now you don't have me and you don't have a job.
Yeah. Considering how savage he's been with some of the, and I think unintentionally, but savage he's been with some of these eliminations, like he was with Katie last week or whatever, when it's like, I have this rose and you're not getting it. Goodbye. I guess we can talk about Abigail now, since the group date rose, I think is relevant to the rest of the episode. And really maybe the rest of the season, but, so Abigail, she's in her head about how, oh my God, I've yet to get the one-on-one. Everyone else has got one. And she more, she started with a, well, this week's been hard. And when he pushes her on it, it then more becomes like more about how great their time has been and I can see a future. And she didn't totally go where she had been talking about in her interviews or with the other women. Mm-hmm. But it went from, I'm seeing a family and I can see it with you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just send her home. It's like stab and turn.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I felt bad, but she also like, she seems like such a nice person that mm-hmm. I don't think she could stand, you know, you have to be a certain type of person to go through this entire process. But I hope that it's not the end of Abigail, but I also hope she's not in paradise. So I don't know. I just, I love her. And she was definitely probably my favorite throughout this whole season so far.
Well, and the way that
too good for the franchise,
maybe, I mean, I wouldn't, it certainly wouldn't bother me if she was the Bachelorette. I think the problem I had with how she went is, again, I don't think he meant to do it this way, but for him to say, you know, I gave you the first impression, Rose, and I thought everything was great. And then I started spending time with other people. And it's in that time when I was ignoring you and he didn't say that, but that I was ignoring you that I created these relationships that are way better than ours. So deuces, you gotta leave.
I don't think he meant it like that, but it came off like horribly. Like I was so confident in us, but you know, then I
spent time with other people,
other relationships. And I guess you deserve someone who puts you first.
And, you know, he walks her out and the other women, you know, even though you want to be the last one there, it definitely, I think, got people a little worked up. And it certainly explained how we were, this was very quickly getting to how we were going to get down to the number of people we needed for hometowns. Because it seemed like we had a lot of people left. And we're like, how are we going to get there? And we're like, ah, this is how we're going to get
there.
Again,
this is like the longest, shortest season so far.
Oh, totally. And I think that Abigail leaving, I think it made it very real for Kit, which is why when she had her time with him, I really think she was looking for him to send her home. Because
that's exactly what I wrote down.
Because she basically sat down with him and was like, yeah, so this is how it's going to go. And if you don't like it, like, then we need to maybe move on.
Yeah, I think that's what she was looking for. She was like, all right, I'm just, you know, she went through her whole spiel of, you know, I don't want kids right away. Like, I want to finish school. I want to travel and want to figure out what I want to do for a career. And, you know, I don't want to have kids until I'm 25 or 26.
Oh, how dare you?
And that she was a long-term investment. And then I think at that point she was expecting and she wanted Matt to be like, all right, you know what? That's not what I'm looking for, you know, marriage and kids soon and like all this stuff. And then he was like, no, it's okay. I have no 5-year plan.
She's like, oh crap. Okay. Yeah, this is great. And then 10 minutes after the group date, she's over at his house and like, yeah. So about that 5-year plan, it's going to have to involve me leaving now. And sorry about that. So I have a theory that we were working out here while we were watching the show. I have this sneaking suspicion that her mother had zero plans on being involved in this show and made it very clear.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That, listen, go on the show, build your brand, do what you need to do, mm-hmm. but do not get to hometowns because we are not coming to this B-rate hotel in Pennsylvania, which, by the way, it's not. But for someone who's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, it's like, I am not coming to that, you know, I'm not quarantining, going to that B-level resort and getting on this show. So do what you need to do, but make sure you're back here before hometowns.
That was exactly my thought, too. I think it was like, you know, unless you know he's the one, then we'll do like an off camera, like hometown, but I'm not going on that show.
I just, I mean, it just, it fits too perfectly.
Yeah. And she was like itching to get out. Like she was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, wait, no, I need to leave.
Like, do I wait to the rose ceremony and just walk out at the rose ceremony? What do I do?
This is now way too fast.
And, you know, so the group date ends and you know that Bree is just like, oh, I'm getting this rose. I just told him I resigned from my dream job. Like, how am I? There's no way I'm not getting this rose. Like, this is just,
yeah,
this is in the bag. Like, there is no better lock than that. And mm-hmm. then, of course, he gives it to Rachel because, of course, he does.
Yeah.
And
then it turns into like a random one-on-one.
Right. And that's what I think. It's not even just that she gets it, but then that he takes her away. And you have these women who are still around and, you know, going to make it to the rose ceremony. But it looks like they've all been sent home already.
Yeah.
Like they're all crying. They don't understand, like, they feel so slighted by not getting the group date rose. And it was just the most bizarre, even for this season, one of the most bizarre endings to a group date.
Yeah, well, even the way he said it, too, again, like, he didn't mean it this way, but we don't think. But he was like, all right, I have something special planned. We're going to go and see you guys later. And then just, like, they run out.
Like, you guys hang out here. And, you know, she's basically like, it's over. Let's go. I'll get engaged right now. And listen, then Rachel gets a performance from Aloe Black, who, I guess we have to talk about Rachel at some point. And I don't know if we want, and maybe we can do Rachel now and we can do Chris at the end. But there's been all kinds of stuff out there about Rachel. And she doesn't seem to be denying anything. She was at a sorority antebellum party. And that led to a lot of the Chris stuff, but like she didn't try to do it if you were offended. She did the, I'm sorry, I need to learn, whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. But clearly there's, yeah. I mean, clearly she's had some, I mean, you pick the word, inexcusable. I can't even come up with the right word. Like how this show allowed her to be on this season or any season, but especially this season, the same thing with Lee and Rachel's season, like how you let that happen mm-hmm. is beyond me. This was not anything hidden away. And Garrett, this isn't anything hidden away. This was in plain sight. It's clearly something that until she was quote unquote caught, not something she was upset about or, she wasn't feeling sorry about it until she was caught and mm-hmm. until people brought it to attention. And I get there is for a lot of people, the way they were raised, I understand there's learning that needs to be done to get mm-hmm. where we need to get, but this isn't the way to do it. And this show shouldn't be putting not only the leads or lead in this season, but leads going backwards with Rachel or really any people of color that have been on the show to be faced with, hey, here you go. Now handle this for us.
Yeah.
And so you have this person who has clearly said and done racist things in the past. And she's now on the season with the first Black Bachelor and one mm-hmm. of the first ever people of color leads that they've ever had. And now you're just in this weird in between of, okay, you're one of the favorites. And same thing with Lee. Like you knew Lee was going to stick around when things started coming out because if he was going away on night two, it's not a thing. So right.
No one would
listen. I don't
as much.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know who wins this season, but I know that if Rachel was going to be gone soon, we wouldn't be talking about this as much. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that means she makes it to the end or if she's gone after hometowns, after he meets her maybe racist family. Yeah. But I have no clue. I don't look into that stuff. I don't even know if it's out there. But we're not talking about this if she's not here for the next few weeks, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so for the show now to put their first black lead of The Bachelor on this pseudo one-on-one now with a black performer and just putting everyone in the worst possible position, except Rachel, because she put herself in that position. But yeah, everyone else around her in this position now, it's just beyond me how this happened. And I don't care how many times it's happened before. It still just blows my mind every time it happens.
Yeah, and she might at this point, not even at this point in the show, I mean, like not even realize that she did anything wrong. Yeah. Because obviously this isn't live. It was taped last year. So that's a whole, you know, other issue, really.
Yeah. And the fact that she would, so let's say she gets her phone back whenever this is over and people are like, hey, look at these pictures that were found. And for her as a 20, I don't know how old she is, 24, 25, to be finding out like, oh, wow, that's offensive. That's part of the problem, is putting right. this person on this show that is just realizing that. And I understand these conversations need to happen and people need to be informed, but it shouldn't mm-hmm. be happening. It's not the responsibility of Matt James to yeah. be that person on national TV after the fact, because now whether she wins or not, every single interview he does, and he's commented a little bit about it, but every single interview he does in the aftermath of this show is going to be have questions about that. And that's just, it's putting him in an unfair position, and it all could have been avoided.
He's now linked to this, like, forever, really. Like, yeah. for whenever you go back and look up past Bachelors and find him, that's probably going to be the one thing that he's associated with in the future.
Yeah.
Which and isn't so fair for him.
Just search Bachelor racist and all of these, because guess what? Because I don't follow all of these different things about, because people send us stuff all the time and I don't want spoilers. So I generally don't read anything. But mm-hmm. it was impossible to miss this story with Rachel. But I didn't right. know everything beyond the pictures. So I was like, well, let me see. So I literally Googled Rachel Bachelor racist or something like that, or Bachelor racist. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just her apology and within, you know, Us Weekly and People and all this stuff. And so anyone that searches Bachelor racist it's Matt James at the top of that. And so he's going to have to, like, this is being left at his feet and Rachel too, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's been part of her issue, which again, I want to sort of get in separately, I think with Chris, but it's just watching this is where, like, it was bad all week, but especially yeah. watching her get this rose and then get a performance from Allo Black, who I can guarantee you, if Allo Black knew who he was singing to, he would not have agreed to be on this show. And so mm-hmm. now you're putting Allo Black in a bad position. And so, like I said, the whole week for me was just uncomfortable. And it just
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, in the end, I mean, everyone's in a bad position. Anyone associated with this, really.
Absolutely. And it's this sort of accentuated to me, because you're like, oh wow, you're taking this, the first black lead of the show, taking this woman into a one-on-one where she's being, you know, serenaded by a black singer, and she's seemingly had a very admitted history of racism. That's awesome. Good job, mm-hmm. guys. Like, just fail all the way around.
Yeah.
And before we get to the Chris section of that, let's briefly touch on Jesenia's one-on-one, because
briefly
this was one of, I don't want to say the worst, because it's not that it was bad, it was so boring.
So like, boring. Like, this should have been cut instead of that, whatever the group date was.
Yeah, the group date literally could have been them sitting in, like, just in a field doing nothing, and it would have been better. Like, oh yeah. they do some spin outs and hit some stuff in a car.
Yeah.
And then she makes him like, oh, pick me up and put me on the car to make out with me. And
yeah. I've always, like, wanted to do that.
Like, cool.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then they go to dinner. And after like a minute, he's like, yeah, nah.
Well, no, we get another falling in love with you.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm not there yet. All right, bye.
Well, and while he's saying this, he's taking the rose and saying all these nice things and like pushing it towards her and then back and pushing it towards her. And so she's got this big smile on her face, like just waiting to grab it. And then he's like, but I can't give you this rose right now. Like, which I'm fine with because, like I said, I've been done with her. But that's rough. Like, just talk about, like, you couldn't give it, like, oh, like, just don't even go to dinner. Like, what are you doing?
Just rip the Band-Aid off.
And then we go into the rose ceremony, which he is seemingly, and that was about 30 seconds on Jesenia, so there you go. Goes into the rose ceremony, seemingly conflicted. Rachel and Serena already have their roses. And then it's down to Bree, Michelle, and Piper. And Piper goes bye-bye. And this is probably, I mean, we're talking about cold. This is probably the this was probably the coldest exit we've seen in a while. Because even Victoria, I don't even think was cold. She was just, you know, yelling and screaming. This was just like beeline for the car, closed the door, did not say a word to him. Mm-hmm. I just, interesting.
Which deep down, I think she was a mean girl too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, listen.
Not really deep down. I mean, she showed it at some time.
It was
point,
on the surface. It was on the surface.
She wasn't like, she wasn't a Victoria or.
No.
Or
she was an MJ. Second tier. She was the second tier. Mm-hmm. But it was out there. And we saw that with Heather. But in the car, then she was saying, you know, this was a perfect waste of time. And we're like, again, I think there's certain people that are showing, like, whether you want to say right reasons and drink or whatever, like, weren't here to get engaged at the end. If that's your reaction, instead of just being brokenhearted about it, being like, well, screw you. Why was I even here?
Yeah.
Then you're probably not here for the process. Again, drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this week now we know that Rachel, Serena, Bree, and Michelle get quote unquote hometowns, which is bringing the families into the bubble. Which will make for some prickly conversations, I'm sure. And we get to see what happens with that. Not a surprise, again, because usually the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Rachel's family seemingly gives Matt a hard time. Shocker, shocker. Weird. And yeah, I know, weird. So we'll have to see what happens there. Before we get to Chris, was there anything else that that was going on?
I mean, not as major as our Chris slash Rachel slash Rachel debacle that we have to talk about, but the weirdest Valentine's Day post, I think, that was posted within Bachelor Nation was Bennett and Tyler C. out to dinner together.
Can you explain that to me, by the way?
I don't know. I was scrolling and I saw it and I was like, wait, what? This is a thing?
I just, if I could have picked two recent Bachelorette people to, or really any two people from the show to be together, those would be like at the top of like the least likely pair. I don't get it.
Yeah. I reposted it on the Bachelor Podcast Instagram. So you should look at it if you haven't seen it, because it's quite the scene. I was very confused.
Not the Valentine's couple I was expecting.
Yeah, no. No, not at all. And then another interesting fact, not that I want to ever bring up Chad Johnson, ever, but he posted something on Twitter saying that basically he alluded to the fact that they're contracted to put The Bachelor and what season you're on in your Twitter bio.
Oh, really?
For a certain amount of time. So he tweeted and said, I can't wait to remove the top line of my bio from my profile. It's just a few weeks away. So he alluded to the fact, basically, and everyone was replying like, oh, are you contracted for a certain amount of time? And then about an hour later, the tweet was taken down.
Oh, okay.
But I had screenshotted it, so I have that. But yeah, so I think someone made him take it down, but it looks like you are required, or some people are required at least, to put what show slash franchise season that you're on for that. Because obviously he's very vocal about distancing himself from the franchise, basically since he got thrown off Paradise.
Interesting.
And he's into other things now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah.
Very different things now.
Yeah. So, yeah, he alluded to that fact, which was interesting. And everyone was replying saying, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. Like how long, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't reply to anything. And then I went back and it said, this tweet has been deleted.
Yeah. Someone that works with him was clear. Like, yeah, your contract says you can't say this. So
yeah.
Gotta.
So, yeah. And then I'm Leslie Murphy from Sean Lowe's season, was also on Bachelor in Paradise. She just had her baby. And that's about it for B level news.
Yeah. Listen, we got to talk about Chris and Rachel. And I guess this whole brouhaha, and listen, we're not going to get that deep in the weeds. I think deeper than we got with on the show, Rachel, not Rachel. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that we need two white people trying to solve the race issue within The Bachelor, which if you've been listening to this show for any matter of time, and we've been doing what every season since Ben, mm-hmm. we've been pretty clear about how this show has been anything but inclusive, diverse, whatever word you want to say, and not even just with their leads, with the people they have. I mean, the contestant list usually looks, I mean, like why, like Bachelor so white. I mean, it's almost always been that case.
Yeah.
So like we've said it more than anyone that this show has had issues. And so, I have no problem with sort of the bell finally tolling. Whether that needs to be Chris Harrison, I don't know if that's the answer. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, he did an interview with Rachel where I don't know if you want to say he defended this Rachel. Mm-hmm. It sort of sounded like he did, but then after he was saying like, no, it's more just overall like giving people a chance to explain themselves. And it was definitely tone deaf and maybe some of it was lost in translation.
I didn't, whatever he was trying to say didn't come out the best way.
No. And I think that's very nice of you putting it as well as anyone could, very gently.
Yeah.
And it took a little time for him to sort of have a follow-up, statement apology, which was very much read like an ABC apology.
Yep.
So he's stepping away from the show for now. But the fire Chris Harrison hashtag is very much a thing. I don't know.
I think it would be tough to come back from something like this for him. To say that you're coming back to host after, I mean, he said temporarily, so it could be a season, could be a couple years, whatever. But I think ultimately it's probably going to be the end. I think it would be tough. I think it would be tough for him to be welcomed back because I mean, everyone is very up in arms about it, but also they know that, I mean, what he did was horrible, but they know that it's not him controlling the franchise issue part of it. You know, it's not, they're not saying, oh, he's like, let's not go after him because he didn't do anything. He did do something. But I think people are smart enough to know that it's not him controlling the issues that we have within the franchise.
Yeah. And I think, listen, there are a lot of people. Yeah. And there are a lot of people out there sort of adopting this cause, if you will. You know, I was live tweeting last night and there were a handful of Bachelor-ish creators who were like, I'm boycotting the show, you know, because of Chris Harrison. And then in the next tweet saying, but we'll have our recap podcast up tomorrow, so make sure you download, listen, subscribe, all this. And I'm like, that doesn't seem genuine to me. I think if you're really going to say like, oh, this, you know, this needs to stop, then just stop. Like, don't, like, go one way or the other. It seemed like a lot of people were definitely trying to jump on the fire Chris Harrison, but look at me. And and it's not people, again, it isn't people of color that were on the show. And it isn't even people who were on the show. So it would be like me if I went on last night and said, I'm not watching this show, you know, I'm boycotting, but look, we're recording our podcast, you know.
Right, make sure you listen.
Subscribe, share, let's get our sponsors more money. Like, it's that to me comes a little hollow. Now, you should be listening to someone like Rachel Lindsay because she lived and is living it. And so when she says something, I listen. And she's made it pretty clear that once her current contract, whatever that encompasses, with this show is over, that she's done with it. While also recognizing what the show's done for her. I mean, she doesn't have the platform she has now without that show. And she has said as much, but it's ridiculous what they continue to ask her to do. And anytime their very racist past comes up, it's like, hey, Rachel, go talk about it.
This? Yeah.
And it's just, that's unfair. And like you said, this is unfair to everybody, around the show, but especially Rachel, who's just somehow is always the person that has to deal with it. So listen, I don't know that firing Chris Harrison, actually I know firing Chris Harrison does not solve their problems.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they shouldn't, because I'm not going to have a problem with it if they decide to, but they have much bigger problems than Chris being an idiot in an interview and a follow-up statement.
It's not like this is the first time something like this has happened.
Exactly. And it's getting rid of him doesn't solve the problem within the show. Like, it needs to go much deeper than, okay, Chris Harrison's going to sit on the sidelines for a while and we're going to have JoJo or whoever come in and be the host for a year or two. That solves nothing. Like, yes, it you know, takes care of, you know, having, you know, listen, if you do something, there are results that come with that and you have to deal with that. There are consequences. Fine.
Yep.
But that does nothing for these issues that the show has had from day one.
Right.
So listen, like I said, two white people here aren't going to fix the racism within The Bachelor, but neither is firing Chris Harrison alone. You want to get rid of him?
Right.
I'm not going to stand here and get on a soapbox and say, cancel culture or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, listen, people who say and do dumb things complain about cancel culture. Mm-hmm. When you do something, there are consequences. Deal with it. That's fine. You can call it whatever you want. So I have no problem getting rid of him, but they're going to have so much more work to do than getting rid of Chris Harrison. Like, that would be step like point one, not even step one.
Yeah.
To getting to the bottom of what they need to take care of. And that's just my like, 2.5 cents. Again, we're not solving anything here, but I do think you just have to be careful to watch out for these big splashy things. And if ABC says, yeah, Chris Harrison, nope, he's not doing the show.
Yeah.
Don't think, yay, we won. Everything's going to be great now. Like,
yeah.
So much more has to happen.
Just the smallest beginning.
Yes. Do you have anything else to add to that? wonderful. Section that unfortunately we have to talk about all too often with this show. As much as I love the madness that is this show, the fun madness.
Yes.
This part unfortunately comes up a lot, and it's not fun because they continue to not address it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's our soapbox for the day or the week. But I hope you too enjoyed the fun parts of these episodes. And this week included, we have another week. Big week of The Bachelor next week with hometowns. Again, I'm sure the Rachel stuff will be part of the conversation because she is getting a hometown. But as always, we'll be back here. Thank you for listening at Bachelor Podcast on all socials. Katie, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And thank you for the twins for dropping in the background there. Say hello, twins. They're saying hello, and we'll see you here next week.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.